Yo, welcome to the Hallway Podcast, where we have real people with real struggles, and this will be a place where real conversation take place. I'm the host, Cliff, and I'm going to be honest, I'm a little nervous because my guest today is my boss. The boss lady is in the house. I want to introduce Miss Jody Ruth Alderady. Welcome, Miss Alderady.
Thanks for having me.
Is that your middle name?
Where'd you dig up my middle name?
Hey, don't blame me. Blame Google.
Okay. That's even scarier.
But this is a payback.
Okay.
Because earlier today, when y'all all did the little celebration, you did a trick on me. You got to walk in and said, Mr. Neely, can you report to the CTE?
Right. I had a surprise for you.
But see, I didn't know that. And so Optakin is one of my students. So me trying to do my job.
Because you're always focused on the job.
That's right. So I'm rushing over here. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know, I'm lost. I'm like, Maheen, what's going on? Shout out Maheen, the great hall.
Great hall monitor.
Right? So he said, I don't know. I think that's Miss Alderady. So I come to Lee. Mm-hmm. And then next thing I know, we have a whole little surprise. And shout out to the donor.
Right.
Who donated to us.
Yeah, man, donated to this podcast.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. It's so awesome.
So my thing is this. We're going to shout him out next episode, mm-hmm. you know, and everything. But are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So last week, we started a little tradition. Shout out our boy, Ben.
Shout out, Ben. Did a great job.
I know. He got the bus moving.
Got the bus moving.
So now the torch is yours.
Okay.
And so we started a tradition on this podcast where... You know, the famous line, yo, you will have to do it.
I have to do it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
See, look, Miss Alderady, now you're questioning me. Like, this is that interview.
This is your rodeo. I can do it.
Okay. So, I'm going to count down to three.
Okay.
And I think we're going to make this a competition.
Do I have to beat Ben?
Yes. I'm going to give Ben a 4.5.
Ben's a competitor.
He is. But I'm giving him, but he can't mess. Like, he already did his. So, okay. I'm going to give him a 4.5. And I think what we're going to have Mr. Trailer do, we're going to have, you know, y'all versus each other, like on social media.
Okay.
And then we're going to have the community says who won. Shout out to Andrew Cullum, our SPED teacher mm-hmm. here. He's making shirts, and I will buy you a shirt, a hallway shirt.
If I win. Have to beat Ben. Sorry, Ben. I'm sorry. You don't get a shirt, Ben.
Yes, you just have to beat Ben.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to count down. 3, 2, 1.
Yo.
Took us back to 1999.
Okay.
Baby.
Okay.
All right, Miss Alderady, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Like, how do you feel about this podcast, first of all?
I think it's a great idea. I was so excited. I know you pitched it to me last year mm-hmm. and told me that it was something you really, really wanted to do. I think that we have such amazing kids and staff members at this school, and to be able to showcase them in a way that no one's ever seen before, I think it's a great idea. It's a great opportunity. Really enjoyed the first one with Ben.
Yeah.
Known Ben since he was a little boy, but I learned a lot more about him, and I think everyone else did too, so I think it's great.
And I'm happy. Now, like I was telling Ben last episode, like, you was my first guest because, you know, you're more than just a boss. You're kind of like a mentor in a way to me, and you're kind of like a friend, and... Do you remember the fire drill last year?
Well, we had several. Which one?
Remember when the doors closed?
Yes. So that was actually not a drill.
Okay.
So the motor of the elevator was smoking, and so made the fire alarms go off, and the doors closed for the first time.
Yeah.
We hadn't practiced that before. That only happens if there's an actual event.
And let me say this: it was crazy because me and you are in the exact same hall, and you know. In that moment, I learned a lot from you. We didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. Like, the doors just
closed. I didn't know what was
going on. The doors just closed out of nowhere. And me and a student at the time, shout out Kobe Ross, you know, we were looking at each other like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? And I looked, and when I saw you, you didn't know what was going on. But let me just say this. What I saw from a leader that I'd never seen from all the leaders that God has put in my life, I got to see that, man, it's okay for a leader to have a little fear.
I walked out, and I didn't know what was happening. Yeah. I did not realize those doors closed. I didn't know why they were closed.
Yeah.
So you got to see the real me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what was happening.
And let me just say this. I got to see the real you. I got to see that it's okay for any leader out there. You can have fear.
Sure.
But how you led in that situation, man, I was like, man, people don't get to see that. If they're in the community, they don't get to see our leader do that. And so, man, that's why I really wanted you on. And, you know, last week I got to watch you a lot. You know, I got to go behind the scenes with Miss Already, and I walked away like, whew, you have a job. Good luck.
It's a job every day.
And you made me realize that, man, as our views was going up last episode, I'm not doing this for likes or subscribers. I'm doing this because stories like you, people don't get to see what you do behind the scenes. People don't get to see Miss Alderetti, you know, doing all these jobs at once and then still trying to lead. And, you know, and us as staff members here, we get to walk around. And I just want to say I'm thankful that you're here. And I just want to say thank you for trusting me. And, you know, like I said, let's have a great show.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so you ready for a bell ringer?
I think.
Okay, the bell ringer is going to be a fun. Bell ringer is just, it's okay. Just an easy question. It's going to start us off. So my question is this. Do you remember your first ever fight that you had to break up? And I'm going somewhere with this.
As at a high school?
As a principal, teacher, high school, east side.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Not give us a short version of the story.
So it was several years ago. It was at Eastside. And there was a student that was making fun of a special needs student. It was during an assembly. A gym full of third and fourth graders. They were actually leaving the gym. And the special needs student had had enough of being made fun of. And so I heard some commotion and I turned around. And just went over and kind of grabbed the kids and just, I grabbed one, another teacher at Eastside at the time, grabbed another and just tried to calm them down until we could get everyone out of the gym safely.
Okay, and so keep that story in mind. Do you remember your most recent fight here at the high school?
So I've never had to break up a fight here at the high school. I take that back. Yes.
Okay. What did you do in that moment? What did you do different from your first ever fight or your your first ever fight to that fight, you know, the most recent fight?
So every situation is going to be different.
Okay.
And how you respond to certain kids in certain situations really is dependent upon your relationship with them. If I know that I can, you know, there are some kids I can say a word to and they'll stop what they're doing and they'll come with me. Some kids need a little bit more encouragement. It depends on the level of the student. If a student's out of 10, then I'll take a different approach.
And I asked that because, man, as a principal, like I said, seeing you behind the scenes last week and seeing, like, more of your job, which we're going to get into that in a little bit, you're fighting a lot at once some days.
Some days it is a lot. Some days more than others.
I know. And it's just like, man.
Not fights.
Yeah, not fights. Not fights. Like, fighting, like, you know, you're fighting.
A lot of fires.
A lot of fires. Yeah.
That need to be put out.
That's a great way. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot of fires that you have to, you know, fight against in a way because you're fighting against students, you know, and their mindsets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of your jobs as a principal is to keep students safe, to keep your staff members safe. But I don't know, as humans, we just don't like boundaries, you know? And so that's just one thing that you're fighting. Then you're fighting against so many other things, the community, and then you're fighting against, you know, trending hot topics that's going on. And so, man, that's where I really believe that being a principal is one of like the hardest jobs. And I'll put it in my top 10, one of the hardest jobs a human can have.
So I want to add to that. So it is a hard job, but I would say it's one of the most rewarding jobs you can have too.
I like that.
I get way more from this job than I put in. I used to always tell my elementary kids when they would ask me, what do you do? What do you do all day? And even some of the high school kids. Yeah. And I tell them I have two jobs as a principal. Number one is to keep you safe, always. Number one most important job.
Which that's a struggle. That can be a struggle.
It is a struggle because that is enforcing rules. Yeah. Rules keep us safe. That's why we have rules. And so keeping students and staff safe is my number one job, always. And my second job is to make sure they're learning. Yeah. And so whatever that looks like, whether it's, you know, supporting teachers, making sure they have the tools they need, if it's minimizing distractions in the classroom, whatever it is, It is all wrapped up in those two things, keeping kids safe and helping kids learn. Yeah. And so when I'm putting out fires all day, when things are popping up that I don't anticipate, I just have to keep reminding myself, hey, this is to keep the kids safe, or this is to help make sure the kids are learning.
That's a good word.
And every decision that I make is revolved around that. Then I know that I'm doing the right thing.
And let me just say this, Miss Already, you You know, I'm not saying this for a pay raise. We just got one.
Thank you to the board.
Yeah, thank you to the board. Shout out the board. But, you know, you're doing a good job of that, you know.
Well, I appreciate that. And it's I, of course, don't do it for the accolades, Cliff.
Yeah.
It's when I say it's rewarding, it's when I can call those names at graduation.
Wow.
And watch them get their diplomas and know that they're ready for the world. Or
yeah.
when I see a teacher make a difference in a kid's life, that's when I know that, you know, I've been a part of providing the tools that teacher needs, or maybe supported them in another way. So I don't need the accolades.
Wow.
I see it every day, get rewarded every day
that's
by the
good.
Kids. And
that's
the
good,
teachers.
Miss Already.
So,
that's,
yeah.
that's a word. But let me just say this, because I tell my students the same thing. I tell them, I'm not looking at the now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking down the line 4 years from now when you're wearing that long blue cap and gown, mm-hmm. you got the J on your head, and you're walking across that stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's more worth it than, you know, the little fires that we do have to fight here at Jacksonville.
Yeah,
High School.
Absolutely.
And so that's a great word, man. Look at you. You over here was nervous. You, man, you killing it. And you even took my next question. I was gonna ask, what is the job duty of a principal?
That's it. Those two
okay.
things.
All right. So what would you say the hallways would say about our students here?
What I see in the hallways,
yeah.
Cliff, they're the most amazing kids in the world.
Okay.
And I think that's one of the reasons I'm so glad that you're doing this podcast, is because people hear a lot of times only the bad.
Yeah.
Or they see the good in athletics,
yeah.
or band, or those programs that are highlighted. But we have so many interesting students. When people talk about, oh, I'm so worried about the next generation, kids these days. Man, let me tell you about kids these
Come
days.
Come on, tell us.
Kids these days are more accepting than I think any generation. I think that they are kinder than any generation. I think that they're more resourceful. They have so many tools
yeah.
at their disposal and know how to use them. I think that I work with these kids every day, and I'm not worried about my future
yeah.
because I know that we've got kids that
wow.
are going to do great things.
And I remember we was talking a little bit before the podcast, and I want to shout out your daughter, Josie Otteretti.
Rose. Shout out Josie Rose.
Yeah. What did she tell you?
She told me, Mom, be real. They don't want to see you. Your principal voice is what she
yeah.
told me. They want you to be real. So.
And that's what this generation wants.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They want real people. You know, they want real love.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want that fake love. And I mean, you just, that's a miss. Miss Already, what are you doing? You, man, you was nervous. You over here preaching over here, man.
I was, but well, here's the deal. I was nervous, but I can talk about the kids all day long.
Yeah.
Like, you hit the sweet spot, because I really, really enjoy my job, and I enjoy getting to see them thrive every day. And days aren't perfect.
Yeah.
And kids aren't perfect. Neither are teachers, and neither
right.
are principals.
Preach.
And so, but that's our job.
Yeah.
Is to teach them. Yeah, I used to tell the teachers at Eastside, and I've told teachers here, shout out Eastside. we teach kids how to read. We teach them how to do math. Sometimes we got to teach them how to life.
Yeah.
They don't know these things.
Yeah.
And so when they make mistakes, working through the mistakes with them, showing grace when we need to show grace,
yeah.
It goes a long way.
Wow.
They know that even when I screw up, I'm still loved, I'm forgiven, tomorrow's a new day.
And that's the thing why, once again, you know, why I'm thankful that you are my leader. Because, you know, the thing that, like I told Ben last week, when I watch you lead this school, you know, I see how, you know, in my faith, Jesus led,
mm-hmm.
you know, his people, which he met them where they were. And you do a great job, you know, here. You meet these students where they are. You know some of these students' stories. And instead of just throwing them away or giving up on them, you love them. And, man, I would just encourage you just to keep doing that, man. You know, put the students first. You know,
oh.
you know, keep doing that.
Jesus also said, love one another.
Mm-hmm.
As I've loved you,
yeah.
by this shall all men know that you're mine.
Preach.
And so that's what he commanded us to do.
Yeah.
And it's they're easy to love.
Yeah.
Some days a little harder, some of them.
Hey.
But they're
to?
Easy to love. And they're like... They're the greatest personalities. They're goofy, and they're funny, and they're intelligent, and so many positive attributes that they have if people take time to get to know them.
And the thing is that we got to understand as adults is these kids are struggling too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, some of these kids, we don't know their stories. We don't know what they go home to.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't know what they're coming to school with. You know, what I see in the mornings is a bunch of teachers. Good morning. How y'all doing? Mm-hmm. You know, hey, good to see you, you know. And I think that's a great job of you picking out your staff members too, you know. So how do as a principal, because just like I'm the host of this show, you're pretty much the host of this whole high school in a way, you know. So how do you pick out, you know, the right staff members and stuff like that, you know?
So
because you're basically like Jerry Jones, a GM.
You know I'm a Cowboys fan, but comparing me to Jerry Jones is taking it a little too far.
Well, I'll compare you, not him, but okay. The GM.
Okay.
The GM part.
Okay. No, I look for passion first.
Okay.
Because, you know, everyone knows it's hard to find teachers these days.
Yeah.
Kids aren't going to school to be teachers. And so a lot of the teachers that we hire, probably about 30-40% are... they have bachelor's degrees in other areas, and they're alternatively certified. Mm-hmm. So they didn't maybe plan to become a teacher, but that's the road that was laid out before them. And so they weren't taught in college a lot of the skills. Yeah. So we can teach those things.
Yeah,
it's hard to teach once we get school going and stuff, but the passion you can't teach. Ooh. Love for kids,
preach.
Love for education you can't teach. Mm-hmm. So that's what I look for.
Yeah.
I said this the other night on the pregame, before the football game the other night. Coach Stevenson, when we hired him, he told me, he said, when I hire coaches, I'm looking for good men. Mm. He said, we have to have good men around our kids.
Right.
And that's, you're 100% right. So looking for good people, they're going to be good role models for our kids is a priority always.
So let's get more to your family part. When did you graduate, first of all?
From high school?
Mm-hmm,
1996.
1996. Okay, so... keep in mind in 1990, so you started high school probably in 1990, you know,
two.
So you were a freshman in high school. What would Miss Alderetti struggle with in today's world or in today's generation?
Well, I will. Let me say this. I think kids these days, they have it a lot harder than we did. Social media complicates things incredibly.
Right. And we're going to get to that.
Okay. I grew up in a very small town, and so everybody knew me, everybody knew my family, I knew everyone, so myself, I was a year younger than everyone in my class. I was an athlete, but I was also, I'll just tell you, I was a nerd.
Okay.
Still am.
It ain't nothing wrong with that.
Love to read, love to do lots of nerdy things, and so probably would struggle a lot with self-worth.
Okay.
At that point in my life.
Yeah.
I was a super skinny kid. Was always made fun of for being a beanpole. I grew really tall, really fast, and that's probably what would be my struggle, which I think is a struggle for any teenager these days.
And that's where I was gonna go.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, do you think that's a struggle today? You know, in these halls.
Oh, absolutely, and even magnified by social media. Mm-hmm. When you're constantly on social media, seeing others, comparing yourself to others. 100%. I think that's a teenage thing universally. You know, you're trying to figure out who you are, trying to figure out a sense of style, trying to figure out who your friends are. It's 100%
I know the fact that jean shorts came back,
the jorts.
Yeah,
you're not down with the jorts?
No, because when I was in high school, man, they used to make fun of kids that were that wore jean
Isn't
shorts.
Isn't that funny how things come back around?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Let's bring hashtag back around then.
Let's do it.
All right. So, like, what do you, like, where I'm trying to go with this is knowing that yours just said that if you was in a high school kid today, you would struggle with self-worth. How do you lead with kids trying to figure out who they are? Because it's a lot of different cultures. It's a lot of different backgrounds here. Like, how do you lead all those different back, because that's hard, Ms. Alderetti. That's tough.
It is hard, and it's, if you ever go in the cafeteria at lunchtime,
and
I think you and I've talked about this before, and see all the different groups and all the different kids, I think you try to just love them all equally, and it's hard sometimes. Some of them don't want that. They don't, you know, I try to speak to every kid, try to tell them something. If I know something about their life, I may say something, but there are a lot of kids that don't, that they shy away from that. They don't want to be called out. They don't want attention. So any kind of acknowledgement, I try to do that, but also try to recognize kids that don't want that, that will pull away from that.
So how do you sneak that into the kids that don't want that?
I might just walk by and give them a smile.
Okay.
Just, you know, if they're walking down the hallway, try to give them a smile. You know, with some kids, I'll, you know, hey, how's it going? Good to see you today. But some kids, I'll just give them a smile, and I think that's all they need.
And, I mean, and once again, like, everything that you're saying, like, I've seen you do it. Like, you're not just on this show just to be like, oh, to give us a perfect picture. No, like, everything that you're talking about, like, take my word if you're watching this. Like, if you watch this, like, you do it. And so I just want to keep encouraging you just to keep doing it, because once again, these kids go through so much. Man, we did a lot of ministry together last year, you know? Like, man, you helped one of my little bros cross that stage. But he didn't, and it was times where he wanted to, like, give up. But you know what you used to tell him? I remember.
I may have told him, if I have to drag you across the stage, you're getting across that
stage.
You
said that, and you said, we're going to do everything possible to get you graduated.
Yeah. That's our job, right?
And, man, for me, once again, I know that God is calling me to lead. I don't know where he's going to call me to lead, but I'm looking at that like, wow. Like, you're not forcing anything on these kids. You're just forcing love. Like, love and meeting these kids where they are. And then just to get a good education. Just lead with your high school diploma.
Well, and I think that it's also laying out the expectation. Mm-hmm. This is what I expect you to do. I expect you to graduate. Mm-hmm. I expect you to walk across that stage. You're going to make your mama proud. And I believe that you can.
Yeah.
That you have the skills. And if you're struggling in an area where you don't feel like you have the skills, that's what we're here for. We'll help you in any way we can. But you are going to do it.
So what would you say right now, and this is where you got to look at the camera, Ms. Already. What would you say to that student that watched this that's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. These hallways are tough.
You can't. Hey, I know they're tough, but there are people here to help you, and you just have to accept help and reach out for help. And I've been really proud. I have kids email me all the time.
Wow.
I have kids, and I want kids to do that. That's another thing about this generation. They'll stand up for themselves. Yeah. They'll ask for help, and it makes me so proud, even if they're emailing me at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. That's okay, because I want to be someone that they can go to for help.
Yeah.
So ask for help. We're here. Our goal for you is to walk across the stage and go. I'm going to throw go to college in there, because I know Miss Stevens. Yeah. If she's watching this too.
Hey, shout her out.
But we just have a future. That's what we want for you. Yeah. Is to get you across the stage and have a future set up, because we can't just finish with them.
Yeah.
On May 15th. We're not done. We need to make sure they have a plan for May 16th.
Wow, that's a word. That's a word. Look at you preaching, man. Maybe you don't need to be
I had this conversation with all the seniors. Yeah. We went into all the classes. Miss Lucky, I told Miss Lucky's job is to get you to May 15th.
Yeah.
She's your counselor. She's made sure you have all your credits. You're ready to go. Miss Stevenson's going to get you ready for May 16th. Miss Stevens, sorry. It's going to get you ready for May 16th.
Yeah.
Get your future ready. So don't be shy. Go ask for help.
Yeah.
There's people here to help you.
So let's kind of leave the hallways a little bit. We'll come back to it. And let's talk about, like, so you are a principal of how many kids are here?
About 1250 right now.
Look at you. A plus. 1250?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you go home, something you did last year that you gave us a light switch, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And what did you say? What did you tell us?
I said, when you walk out the doors of the high school, you turn it off.
Okay.
You go home and you're there for your family.
And let me tell you this. I took that advice and I ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I get into that black Nissan, I turn it off. So my question is this, you know, you're a leader from, you know, what time do you get up here?
Usually around 7:30.
Okay, 7:30. So you are a leader from 7:30 to probably, I'm going to say like 4:30.
Depends on the day.
Like, how do you turn it off? Like, how do you turn leader, like the principal mom, like the principal off, and then turn on mom mode? Because would you say those two are almost the same or different?
Principal mode and mom mode?
Yeah.
My daughter, Georgia, shout out Georgia, asked me once, Mom, do you principal the same way you parent?
Mm.
And I thought that was a great question. Yeah.
And
I
see, think we didn't talk about that either.
No, but she did ask me that. I will say it took me a long time to learn how to turn it off.
Mm.
you know, when my kids were little and they were at Eastside with me, and it was, you know, that kind of age group all day long. Go home with that kind of age group. And it was, we were so busy with all the practices, all the after school activities. Now that I've got two in college, only have one child still at home, it's a little bit easier. But I have a great support system at home. I have a husband. We've been married 26 years, and he...
Can you shout him out?
Shout out, Chris. our anniversary is tomorrow, 26
years. Oh, congratulations.
I don't know when this is airing, but September 4th is our anniversary. Great support system at home, and I think that that is really, really important. And I think that my kids have always known, I've hoped that they've known that I've shown them they're my number one priority, but the kids at school are really special to me too. And I think that they've seen that, especially when they were with me at Eastside. I hope that, that's something I've been able to teach them and to model for them how to love others and to do that. So it took me a long time to learn, but had to have that support system at home. And to realize how important the job of parenting, principal job is hard. Being a mom is harder. Being a mom is the hardest job you can do, because that responsibility, you know, raising those, and I have three daughters, and so raising my daughters is hard work because it's such important work. So have to be there for them, to give that time to them.
Shout out to the moms all around the world.
Shout out, moms.
So are you ready to go a little deeper?
I thought we were already deep. We're going deeper.
We're going deeper.
Okay, we're going deeper.
Okay, let's I think it was the fall of 2023, right?
Okay.
How did you hear about, like, the opening for Jacksonville High School?
So I think that the job came open, the principal job, I want to say October of 2023. And casually in conversation, people would say, "Oh, are you going to be the principal of the high school?" And I would say, "No. That's not what I want to do. I've been at Eastside, you know, 17 years. No, I would never want to be a high school principal."
Yeah, so you was at Eastside for 17 years. And you love Eastside.
Absolutely.
Hey, and let me tell you this. Shout out the TikTok teachers, like, of Eastside.
Shout out to the TikTok teachers.
You know, shout out.
Making us laugh.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, I want to drop names, but I don't want to drop all their names, but, you know, just shout. They know, if, as the kids are saying,
you know who you are.
Yeah, no, as the kids are saying, if you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
And so, 17 years, right? You find out that, you know, it's a job opening at the high school.
And not interested at all.
So you're like, no, I will never.
Right.
What made you, as you are sitting at your desk, what made you say, I'm gonna put my name in that bucket?
So I think a series of events. That spring, two high school students lost their lives in the community. And there was a lot of talk around town about that people didn't feel the high school was safe. That people, you know, felt like all of these things were happening, which, you know, may or may not be true. And I still just was like, you know, that's not for me, but I'm a little bit worried about my Eastside babies that are there. Like, you know, I love those kids, spent 6 years with those kids at Eastside. That worries me for them that are at the high school if these things are true. Went to a baby shower. This was March probably of that year. So from October to March, didn't really give it a second thought.
Oh, so you didn't, it wasn't like, so when did you put your name in the book?
So went to a baby shower.
Okay, my bad.
And someone said to me, you know, you would be a good high school principal. I was like, no, that's not for me. Very happy where I am. And then I could not get it out of my mind. So this was, we had lost one student already at the high school. And I'd started a walking program, 40 miles in 40 days, 40 days with Jesus, where you walk a mile a day and you pray. And so I'd started that during Lent and was doing that. And every day I would walk and I would just be on my mind. I'm like, what is happening? Why am I thinking about this? What's going on? And the week that, after that weekend where it was really on my mind, Brad Stewart showed up in my office Monday morning. Yeah. And he said, Shout out Brad. Our superintendent. Yeah. Shout out Mr. Stewart.
Let me just say this. I love your shout outs. Like, I would try every time I could get a shout out. I just, because, man.
You like the shout out.
Yes, because your shout outs is like, shout out. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just cool.
Well, he showed up in my office Monday morning and he said, you've been on my mind this weekend. And I said, that's really strange because you've been on my mind this weekend. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you some questions about the high school job? And so we started talking, and I really think that God just laid it on my heart.
Yeah.
There was no denying that this is where he wanted me.
Yeah.
And spent lots of, all your podcasts end up being pretty religious, Cliff.
Yeah, I know.
Spent lots of time in prayer. Like, what are you doing? Why, you know, what's happening? And, but it was very, very clear to me that this is where I needed to be. So, talked to some other people, talked to Ms. Kabara, former JHS principal, who was an interim principal at the time, just a couple days a week, talked to her, kind of asked some questions about it, and then called Mr. Stewart and said, I want to interview. I want to talk about this. I think this is where I need to be. And I want to make sure that these kids have a safe place to go to school and that we're giving them everything they need.
So can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
What was, like, some of the questions that Mr. Stewart asked, like, and you don't have to give us all, but like, what was like the one that was like, that made you like really have to like scratch your head? Because I know, like, as you were doing the interview, you was like, do I really want to do this? Like, was it times where you're like, do I really want to do this? Do I, like, what, like, I'm already here, but like, do I really want to be the high school? Like, what, like, how did the interview go?
From my perspective, it was more of, okay, guys, if you decide I'm the right person for the job and I do this, y'all gonna have to support me through this because I've never been a secondary principal.
Yeah. Question, but, real quick. Mm-hmm. Sorry to cut you off. What's the difference between East Side, like being an elementary and a middle school or high school?
It's when my first day, when I came to the high school and they announced that I was going to be the principal, I told the staff, here's what I know. Okay. I know I've never been secondary, but I know kids.
Okay.
And kids are kids. These kids are just in bigger bodies.
Yeah.
Those kids that I've known since they were 4 years old, they're acting the same. They're just in bigger bodies. And I know how to lead people. So, you know, if you trust me, then we'll go through this together.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
So I don't know if there was any particular question or anything specific that we talked about. We kind of talked about the staff and how we would work the staff, you know, different positions and what the campus needs were. That was something that was really important to me. What are the needs? What are the bright spots? What are the things we can really capitalize on? And one of the things that I thought was really, really important, and Mr. Stewart has always said this, we have to tell our story because the community is telling a different story about Jacksonville High School.
Yeah.
And so when I went and talked to them, they said it is not a scary place. When we're there, the halls, the kids are friendly, the kids are happy.
Yeah.
We just weren't telling the right story. And I think, not to say that there weren't some kids that were afraid, because there were, and I've talked to those kids, and I think it was some of those things that had happened. So one of the students actually started at the high school on a Thursday. That Friday was Good Friday, and the second student was killed that weekend. Mm. There were a lot of emotions, a lot of things happening. And so just in talking to Mr. Stewart and his team over there, just what does this campus need? That was what I needed to know.
So let's transition. So your name is announced. Ms. Jody already is the new high school principal at Jacksonville High School. Your first day walking these halls. Mm-hmm. What was your first day like? Because keep in mind, in that, like, around this time I was at Compass, but you know, a lot of those kids, you know, they was happy to be in Compass because they was like, the high school was like World War III. Mm-hmm. It's chaos. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just a lot of stuff going on, you know? And so, you know, what, like, your first day walking these halls, what was going through your mind?
So twice the size, twice the number of kids that I was used to, twice the number of teachers. And I think that's been a transition for me. I always prided myself at Eastside and knowing all the kids, knowing their names, knowing their families, and that's just twice as hard to do here. So I was really happy to see a lot of the kids, and the first thing, the very first thing, to be honest, that I noticed was kids walking down the hall with their phone.
Yeah.
And with AirPods in and their phones in their face and not engaging at any way with their environment. Yeah. And that may have been a way that they could shelter themselves, that they didn't want to see and know what was going on. But I saw a lot of that. Disengaged kids. Kids that weren't talking to friends. Kids that weren't interacting with others. That was one of the first things that I noticed. But I also noticed a lot of great teachers. A lot of great teaching going on.
Yeah.
That they're doing their best trying to lead the kids. And a lot of really good kids.
Yeah.
The first impression was, man, these kids, there's great kids walking these halls. They're happy. It wasn't like I went home scared. I was like, ooh, that was busy. That was a lot. These halls are crowded. Yeah. But could immediately get a good feel, get a good sense.
Yeah, so for the school. Because when you came in, it was already towards the end of
It was beginning of April.
Yeah, so you got, like, your first time doing a graduation was, like, you only...
6 weeks.
Yeah, no, exactly. So how was that? I always wanted to ask you that. Like, how was that, like, getting thrown into, like, graduation?
Well, it was, I mean, it was okay. Yeah. The kids in the beginning were, it was one of the first, a kid I walked, Miss Traylor walked me around all the classrooms the first day so I could introduce myself. And there was, couldn't even tell you who it was to this day, said, who's calling our names at graduation? My very first day here. Yeah. It's important to them.
Yeah.
It's really important to them. And I didn't even know the answer to that. Wow. I didn't know that. And I said, well, it might be me. I said, but whoever it is, you know, I'm sure they'll do a great job. But
and you probably knew a couple of those students, but you didn't know, like, last year was your full year.
Last year was my first full year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where start you to can, finish. Where, yeah, start to finish. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what did you think about last year? Like, what was some things that you learned from your first year to now what you're doing, you know, this year?
I'll be honest. My, when I came in April of the first year, I was still doing a little bit of stuff at Eastside because that took their principal away also. Miss Cook stepped in as interim and did a great job. It still does a great job over there.
Yeah, shout her out.
Shout out, Miss Cook.
Yeah.
just wanted the kids to see me and know. I think that there was a lot of uncertainty for kids and teachers. Who's our new principal going to be? Who's going to be the person that's going to come in and keep us safe and help us learn? All of those things. So just really wanted to be visible.
Yeah.
In that last 6 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. And then coming into your first full year, like, what, I know it's like, was you excited? Because you're like, man, this is like, now, like, my name is on, like,
the... the credit and all the blame
exactly,
at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, like, how did you feel last year, like going through your whole first year at the high school?
I thought it was a great year. I was nervous. We were starting the no cell phone thing, which was huge last year, and it was kind of a shock to the system.
It was.
We did an okay job last year. I'm glad we had that practice run. So I knew up front that was going to be a huge change for kids and teachers because it affects teachers, too, in that they've got to manage it in their classrooms first and foremost.
And now they got to teach.
And like, now we got to engage kids bell to bell. Yeah. Because if you give them any free time, the first thing they wanted to do was pull their phones out. So,
and listen to music and stuff.
Listen to music. And a lot of kids were like, Miss Alderia, I have to have my music.
Yeah.
But they were using it to disengage. Yeah. And so I'm a huge music fan. I love music. Always have the radio in the car. My kids and I are singing along. And music is okay in certain situations. They were really using it to shut out the rest of the world.
And I think that's what, because last year, you know, my fear when the phone policy, you know, took effect last year, I was like, man, the cafeteria is going to be quiet. But then, no, we had kids talking.
That cafeteria is loud.
Yeah, it was like, man, like, and kids was happy. Like, they was like, I got to, like, they was coming up to me like, I've just made a new friend. And I'm like, congratulations, man. You could have been making new friends if you just would have got off that phone.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, going back to graduation, your first graduation, how did it feel like walking, like spending a whole year, you know, at the high school and then calling those kids names that you got to walk with?
Yeah, just really proud. Like, really, really proud. Yeah. Because, like you said before, I knew the struggle that some of them had been through. And knowing that what their goals for their life, the high school graduation was what was going to get them there. Yeah. And to be able to call their name and say you did it, it's a great honor. It really is to be able to call their names at graduation. And I have a front row seat to watch them walk across the stage. Especially for my ones that I started with when they were little, like to watch how far they've grown. It really is a great experience. I get emotional every year calling out the names or when I have to give a speech. I wish I wasn't like that, but it really gets me because I really do care about them and I am so proud of them.
You do. I hope, and once again, I hope the community can see from this podcast and this episode that you do care about these, our students. So I'm going to ask you like a kind of curveball question.
Okay.
What would you say to the student that feels like high school is, it feels like a prison? What would you say to them?
I think that we do have a lot of kids like that. And I would say that we need, I would want to have a conversation with them about why do you think it feels like that? Some of them are saying that just because they can't be on their phone. Some of them just don't like any boundaries. I had a kid say to me last year at the beginning of the year, ma'am, Miss Alderite, it's no fun anymore. We can't be on our phones and we can't skip class. Like, we actually have to go to class. Well, if that's a prison, then I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to follow. Yeah. We're going to go to class and you might just learn something.
Yeah.
If you're not on your phone and we're making you go sit in that room. Yeah. So,
because I asked that question because it's like when I hear students say that, like, you know, working here, I don't want to be a prison guard. Like, I'm happy to be a teacher. I'm happy to teach you about, you know, things that you might need for, you know, the world, but I'm happy to teach you about life, you know, and help you get ready for that next, you know, stage in life. And it's just like when I hear that, and we hear it like, you know, a lot, you know, which is sad because like this should be like, you know, the thing I love about the CTE building, you know, was, you know, it felt like this, like it felt like a place to be. Like, it felt like the club. Like, it's like you got music going and it's just like everybody smiling. And it's just like, I feel like if a kid feels like, you know, this school is a prison, it's like, what are we doing wrong to make them feel like that? And that's not your goal.
Well, and I think that answer to that is twofold. I think it's always, like you just said, we got to be a little bit reflective.
Yeah.
Why is it like this? But I think also, when you have a job, I'm going to say you, for example, you're required to clock in every morning. You're required to be at certain places at certain times. You're required to dress a certain way. If we are not teaching them to do those things when they go into the real world and get a job, they're not going to keep
that's
it very
word.
Long.
Yeah.
So if it, you know, it kind of depends on what their example of it being like a prison looks like, because I'm always going to make you follow rules.
Yeah.
And I'm always going to make you go to class and do what you're supposed to do. I don't think it feels like a prison.
I just think it's boundaries. And once
it's
again,
boundaries.
I think our default settings as humans is we hate boundaries. The reason why we're in this mess, because Adam and Eve did not, you know, they went outside the boundaries when, you know, God was trying to protect them. And so I just think students, you know, and it's just that we have this mindset that we want to do it our way. And these students need to know that life is not like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, I have to clock in. I have to show up, you know, dress, you know, appropriate and everything. Like, I just can't come in with, you know, shorts and basketball shorts and flip-flops.
You can't walk in whenever you want and do part of your job and not the rest of your job. I mean, the things, that's what school is. It's setting them up for life. It's getting them prepared for the next step. And rules are part of it.
Yeah.
Rules are part of life.
Yeah.
And I think also these kids don't know what prison is actually like.
That's true. I've never been, don't want to be.
Right?
So this is a part where, Miss Alderite, you get to ask me any question that you want, anything. I'm going to be honest.
So you always ask me, how can I pray for you? How's it going? How are you doing? So, how are you doing? I want to know what's weighing on you heavy and how can I support you through that?
So what's weighing on me heavy is like the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finding out last week that, man, like we have a social media page that all we do is just, you know, negative, negative, negative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, believe it or not, our students see it. because they're heavily involved in social media themselves. And so what weighs me down is like, we can't, it's like we're walking contradictions, because it's like one minute we're like, we want the high school to be this, but then like the community, what are you doing to help the high school? You're talking like you're talking bad about these teachers, because believe it or not, like, we're trying.
Every day.
It's every day, man. It's a struggle. Like, you think the struggle is real on the streets. The struggle is real in these hallways. We're trying. You know, trying to fight against telling these kids, like, it's not us making this cell phone policy. Yeah. We're following the law. It's not us. We're trying to keep you safe. That's why we want you to wear your IDs. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's a struggle. And so for us to get the struggle here, and it's not all the kids. Let me just point that out. Yeah. It's not all our students. I don't want to make it seem like it's just all our students. It's not all our students. But, I mean, it's hard for us, for these students. And then they're hearing it from their parents, too. And it's just like, let's all hold hands and let's stand together. And mm-hmm. let's make this high school a better place. And so how you can help is just, man, keep showing up and showing love to these students. You know, and like, you know, and when we get into our community challenge, like, that's going to be one of our challenges. Like, let's speak positive, positive, positive. You know, like, we're all trying here. Mm-hmm. Last time I checked, man, it was only one great leader. Mm-hmm. And it was none of us.
Right.
You know, he is sitting at the right hand of God. And so, I mean, just show us compassion. Just show us, just see that we're trying here. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying here. And, you know, we don't need all the negative comments.
And I think, and let me say too, we have a lot of very supportive parents
we
and
do.
Community
and
members.
Shout them out.
Shout out parents and community members. Yeah. You were one of many this morning that received a grant for your classroom. The Jacksonville Education Foundation, shout out Jeff, and several other private citizens and private companies. Yeah. Also came in this morning and surprised teachers with money. So we have an extremely supportive community.
Yeah.
I think that one of the most important things is that we, the community and the parents, we have to earn their trust. Mm-hmm. And being in this business as long as I have, I've seen it ebb and flow. And COVID was the first thing that happened. When COVID hit, we shut our doors and we said, parents, you can't come in because it's not safe. Mm-hmm. And so we weren't seeing parents as much. Parents weren't meeting their teachers. Mm-hmm. Parents weren't having the conferences like they would normally have. And then there were some school shootings, Uvalde specifically, that new legislature passed since then, and we locked all the doors. And we said, parents, you can't come in. You can't come in except for special occasions. Unless we invite you in, things like that. And so the interactions that I used to have with parents before COVID, before these school shootings, all of a sudden became very limited. Mm. So when I was at the elementary and I was getting 4 and 5 year olds out of the cars every day, those parents may or may not know who I was or what I was doing. We just lost that face-to-face interaction. Mm. And so parents are sending their kids to school not knowing whose hands they're leaving them in because they weren't able to come in and meet them the same way that they used to.
That's a word.
I really, really do encourage families, any school in this district, if there is a problem, reach out.
Yeah.
Because your child's teachers, your child's administrators want to help your child. Mm. I've never met an educator that didn't want to help the children. Yeah. And I've also never met a parent who didn't want what was best for their kid.
Yeah.
And so the parents want what's best. The teachers want what's best. It's not always the same thing. But they have to communicate to figure out what that is and how to provide that for the kid. And so I do encourage them to reach out always to the teacher. Make sure you're on Parent Square. Make sure you're getting what you need. Make sure you're checking Skyward. Make sure you're checking their grades and their attendance and all of those things so that you and the teacher can be on the same page. Yeah. And then just call and ask questions.
Yeah, let's stop having that crab mentality, you know, where we pull, like, let's pull each other up. Mm-hmm. Like, because, you know, like you said, it is a bunch of, you know, support that we do have.
Yeah, we need those parents.
Yeah.
We have to do it together.
Yeah.
The most successful kids are the ones where the school and the parents are working together.
That's a word, Miss Hardy.
Those parents know the kids better than we do. That's what I tell them all the time. And I always tell them, I would rather you call me and let your frustrations out on me than do it anonymously on a Facebook page that's going to be screenshotted and sent to me.
Yeah.
Because that can't solve your problem. But if you call me or any of the APs or the teacher, we can solve the problem.
Yeah.
And don't call me and tell me, I'm sorry, Miss Aldrich. Don't apologize.
Yeah.
Don't apologize for wanting what's best for your kid.
Oh, right.
And reaching out in the best way you know how. As long as you're communicating with me, then, or with anyone else, we're going to figure out a solution.
That's a word.
We're going to figure it out.
So what weighs you down, Miss Alderetti, to flip the question to you?
Making sure that we're doing right by every kid.
Yeah.
Every kid is so unique. All 1,250 of them, they all learn differently.
And
they all have different needs. Like I said, some of them need a hug every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. And some of them just need me to leave them alone.
I mean
to be perfectly honest, they want to do their own thing. And so figuring out their needs in the classroom, supporting teachers through that, because I mean, you will take an algebra teacher, for example, may have 150 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring out what each kid needs and how each kid learns is hard. And so that's what keeps me up at night. Did we do enough for this kid? What can we do for this kid? Why is this kid who was a great student all of a sudden struggling? Things like that, individual kids mostly.
And I love that you said, like, we got different students here that are unique. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes the high school beautiful.
It's my favorite part about the high school, the diversity, the uniqueness of the kids.
And it's just like, man, like, everybody, you know, don't learn the same, you know. And so, you know, just meeting these kids, you know, where they are, once again, you know, I hope the community hears me when I say you do a great job of beating these students. And so, you know, the turnaround, Ben said it last week. Shout out Ben again.
Shout out Ben.
Ben said it last week. You're already turning things around. And for a student to be like, I want to help that, man, Miss Harvey, you should pat yourself on the back.
Well, and I don't get all the credit for that, Cliff.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people here that deserve a lot of that credit, that yourself being one of them.
Yeah.
It's not a job anybody can do on their own.
Yeah.
But it's getting everyone on the same page with the same vision.
Yeah.
Modeling, like, this is how we're going to treat students. We're going to show them respect. And if they don't show it back, we'll deal with that a different way.
Yeah.
But we're going to show them respect.
So just before we close, my final thoughts to you, Miss Alderetti, is this. Man, just keep meeting these students where they are. And just keep showing them real love.
Mm-hmm.
And keep showing them that you are, yes, you wear the hat of principal, but you are a real person. And not just don't show the students, show our parents, show the community that too. And just show that, man, like, we are all, like, the struggle is real in the streets. Like, we all know that. But the struggle is real in these hallways.
In the hallways.
And keep having these real conversations. And like I said, I pray that, you know, somebody who watched this got to see you in a different light. And, you know, when they send their kids to Jacksonville High School, they'll be like, okay.
Because, they're in good hands.
Yes, because Miss Alderetti is the pilot of this plane, and she got a lot of, you know.
A lot of co-pilots.
Co-pilots, too. Mm-hmm. My kids are in, you know, is safe. And, you know, they're in safe hands. And, you know, just, like I said, having these real conversations. And, man, I think this school is already turning around. But it's going to continue. It's going to only get greater. It's only nothing but going. It's only going to go up.
I think that the kids that we have, like, you can't help but see the future. And I mean, it's only going to get better.
Yeah.
So we keep fighting the good fight, the teachers and the kids, and it's a great place to be.
Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up, before we get to the community challenge, Miss Alderetti?
I don't think so. I just appreciate you doing this podcast.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see who the next guest is going to be.
Yeah.
I'd see if they're going to beat me out, because I think, Bebo, I think you got beat. We'll see.
We'll let the community decide
Okay.
But,
I can't wait to see your next guest is going to be. And thank you for putting this out into the world, and and letting the community see the real Jacksonville High School.
Yeah. Well, like I've been telling everybody, you know, I'm just a vessel. God could have used anybody. I was in my secret place and he was like, hey, start a podcast. And I said, huh? And what? It was almost like when he said, go be the Oasis teacher. I was like, huh? You know, and so I just want to be faithful to him. And that's where I'm asking everybody, just pray for that. I'll keep my eyes on him. But I'm also going to pray that I'm also going to ask that we pray that, man, we can continue to pray for this school and pray for all the schools around, especially the school in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Man, that school shooting, man, prayer works. It really does. And, you know, let's pray for, you know, our leaders. Let's pray for our teachers. You know, let's pray for, you know, our football coaches, man. Like, you know, and, you know, the thing is, like, we can't be a town that's so, you know, we just want to win. We need some losses, you know. You know, like, we needed to lose some teachers, but we learned a lot from those teachers. And, you know, when you was hiring, it made it better. So we need to stop always looking at the wins, are wanting the wins, and sometimes, you know, marvel in the loss, because that L in loss really stands for lesson learned.
Mm-hmm. And Cliff, if I could add to that, there are always small victories within that loss. And if we're going to support our kids in any capacity, we need to always support our kids.
Exactly.
We're not going to just support them when they're doing right in the classroom. We're not going to just support them when they're doing well on the football field, but support them all the time.
And so that's our challenge is, man, first of all, let's pray for our high school. And let's also support. Mm-hmm. Support them with the wins, the victories, and support them with the losses too. Man, the losses don't make them losers.
Absolutely.
It does not. Man, once again, you know, a word that you gave us is we can do hard things.
We can do hard things.
And so, I mean, and then another community challenge will be just, man, if y'all don't want to take down those social medias that's all negative, man, let's just post nothing but positive. When you see somebody post something negative, you just post something positive. You know, I believe, I just don't understand trolls, because mm-hmm. you're trolling somebody else, but little do you know, you're being trolled by the mm-hmm. enemy. And so, I mean, you know, if you want to be used by the enemy, I ain't going to judge you. I'm going to still love you at the end of the day. But, you know, this school has some bright students. We have some students that's walking around here that are light. And let's keep that light going. Let's not dim it down with just those negative posts. Once again. So let's take down that social media, or let's just, if you see somebody post negatives, let's post something positive.
Yeah. Or if you don't do the social media, reach out.
Yeah.
Reach out to a teacher. Reach out to a student. Hey, I saw how you carried yourself in that situation. Mm-hmm. Reach out to someone and just spread positive into the world. We don't have enough of it. It's real easy to be negative.
It is.
But spread positive to the kids. Spread positive to the staff. I think it could go a long way.
Because positive is going to win at the end of the day.
That's right.
So I just want to say thank you for watching this episode of the Hallway Podcast. Tune in to our very next episode where you might be surprised of which student you may see and their story that they might tell. So I thank you for watching. I thank Miss Alderetti.
Thanks for having me. It's been
and
fun.
I love you, Miss Alderetti. And I
love
thank
you, Cliff.
So
thank you.
How'd you think it went?